with a preface talking about praise and how it should be a habit. We should have a praise habit. And he was saying and encouraging us, you got to praise God no matter your circumstances. If we're grateful, we can praise. Amen. My sister last week talked about peace. And as I was marinating on that this week as well, I was thinking about how she says, we don't lose peace, we drift away from it. Amen. And the gist of what I got, I'm just putting in my own words, the gist was, we can drift away from it when our relationship with God lacks stability. Amen. That's what I got from it. Amen. So that's how I put it in my own words. Today, I want to talk about joy in this anthem. And I'm going to come from Psalms 34, a very familiar scripture. I'm going to focus on verses 1 through 9. And we're going to read about David today, the psalmist. And I already count it done, Lord, that you would be glorified through everything said and done, that your word will go forth as you see fit, Father, and those that need the word, let them receive accordingly. I thank you for this opportunity. I honor you with my life. To you I say completely yes right now, God. Have your way in Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from NIV. Psalm 34. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his holy people, for there those who fear him lack nothing. And I was thinking this week about things that bring joy to me, and I'm just being human, okay? Can I share my little moments of joy? As a parent, I have joy when I watch my children or our children develop and grow, and they might be facing opposition, but they overcome it. I rejoice in that. As a wife, sometimes Tim will spontaneously get me something I really, really like, and I'd even have to ask for it. So I have joy, amen. Amen. As an educator, when I have a student that's been struggling with a concept and finally they get it, or if I see them evolving and coming out of their shell, I'm cheerful about it, amen. And then even as a minister, when I say something that someone confirms that it was what they needed, whether it's through prayer or if it's through just encouragement, that makes me rejoice. And basically, that's what joy is. Joy in Hebrew means delight, gladness, exultation, cheerfulness, rejoicing, singing, song, pleasure. Amen? I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to consider a joyful moment this week, maybe even today that you experienced. Just pause for a moment and consider that joyful moment. I know for some, I'm just going to talk while you're thinking, that some, as you reflect on it, it may cause you to smile. It may cause you to want to tell someone because it may encourage them. Or it may just cause tears of joy of rejoicing to flood in your eyes. Amen. Sometimes you can't even put that into words, huh? When life is happening through a challenging relationship, a financial difficulty, overwhelming circumstances at work, through the loss of a loved one, we may not recall those moments you might have just considered. But as I've mentioned to you before, if you can think, you can thank. As a praiser and a worshiper, I want to encourage each of you to understand joy is seated, its place, its position in being grateful within a heart full of thanksgiving. David, the psalmist today in Psalms 34, he communicates that in all times he will praise the Lord with, and he will do it without ceasing. David praised God. Listen, the background. He has had to run for his life from Saul. He's had to go to the land of the Philistines. And then when he's summoned by the king in the land of Philistines, he pretends he's a madman, only to basically demonstrate that he is no threat or no danger to them, okay? But through it all, he was fully persuaded to rejoice in God because he trusted that God would see him through all the adversity he was going through in his own life. The Message version says, my lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. When I thought about that and I read that, I was like, that requires a constant awareness of God, the sustainer and the source of your very existence. And we hear that a lot here at Mission House about God, how he sustains us even the breaths we breathe. Amen. When I read this portion, a song came to my mind. And I don't know if you've heard it, but the Clark Sisters had this song back in the day, Jesus is a Love Song. And every time I hear that song, it does, it ministers to me. But it's something about even when you just meditate or just call on the name of Jesus. Amen. It's something about a joy that's indescribable. Amen. As a worshiper, when I consider David's actions and declarations, he chose the joy of and the joy in the Lord as a lifestyle. David found God to be the source of delight, of that gladness, a reason to rejoice. Amen. Then he continues to proclaim, I would heartily boast, glorify, because he realized that God was rightfully deserving. God's continual mercies have been evident through everything he had to go through in his life. And everything he survived, he gave God honor and glory because he had his life is a testament of reliance on God, as ours should be. Amen. In the NIV, it says, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. The message reads, if things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. David encourages us as well that even though we may be being challenged at this moment in this time, we can tap into the source, which is God, for the joy in our praise. Amen. He encourages participants, join in, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's what the praise and worship team does as we stand here. We're not standing here for just a concert or just to keep y'all entertained, but as we want you to participate, because when we all come together, amen, there's something about lifting up our voices and our posture of worship under God together collectively, and how God could just move however he sees fit, just like he showed us previews of what he's doing earlier. Amen. To consider the angels in heaven are crying, holy, 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 should encourage us to collectively praise and worship God on earth. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, I just highlighted this part, but you know the prayer, the part where it says, on earth as it is in heaven. If they're up there proclaiming and praising and worshiping him, we rightfully so down here, amen, supposed to. Imagine, if you will, as we were praising and worshiping God a while ago, we did it, amen. But just imagine, the more we do that, what can happen in this place, in our lives, collectively and individually, amen. I don't know about you, but there's something about when I exalt his name, there's a gladness that comes. And every time you consider God, I don't know about you, but there's a joy that flows. Even when I'm sick, I'm in pain, life ain't going the way I want it to. Trust me, my life is not perfect. But when I think about God, my mind shifts. My spirit shifts. Amen. And there's a joy that's unspeakable. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes our joy may not come out in words. Sometimes it may be a lifting of the hands. It may be a dance in our feet. I'm quick to do that. Sometimes I forget where I am. Before I know it, I jump. Amen. But what's in you is going to come out. Amen. And sometimes I have to I be in a meeting and things are going well and I give God glory because the paperwork is a beast. But in the midst, before I know, a hallelujah will come out. And I look at the parents, I'm like, excuse me, I'm just grateful. Amen. But what's in me comes out wherever I am. Amen. That's who I am. I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. When you think of God's goodness, joy becomes evidence. As the song says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me. And then it says, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The song says, Lord, you're worthy of the glory and all the honor and all the praise. That should do something for us, just thinking on him. In the Message Bible, it reads, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. How many ever been anxious? Y'all, when I be on 85 sometimes, I have to pray. Amen. I have to put a song on or make my own concert to the Lord. Amen. So that anxiousness will leave. Amen. And I bless God because I'm growing. Hallelujah. Amen. It works. I promise it works. Amen. And I bless him. So when anxiousness come and fears come, David was encouraging them, as he is us, that God is our prayer answering God. We have a witness through David and through so many in the Bible that we can take comfort in knowing God answers prayers. One morning when I woke up this week, I woke up and heard, don't allow circumstances to cripple you. My God, let me repeat that. Don't allow circumstances to cripple you. If you think like me, I'm a visualist. First thing I thought of with cripple, somebody that needs a crutches, maybe a walker, maybe even they're mobilized by a wheelchair. That is a visible disability, amen? Sometimes disabilities are not always easily visible. Let's say, think about somebody that may have autism, somebody with ADHD, somebody with a serious emotional disorder, amen? It's according to what's going on around them or within them that will allow you to see that visibly shown, amen? Reflecting on my own journey with God, I commit that there have been seasons and times where I've allowed circumstances to cripple me. As my sister shared last Sunday, I had drifted away from peace. In different seasons, I allowed myself to retreat in my prayer life, in my praise, in my serving and being of service, and my worship. I was crippled being disabled, incapacitated, damaged, injured, deprived of the ability to function normally. But when I have pushed past my fears, pressed into God's presence, fear was replaced with boldness, hope, confidence, faith, and ultimately joy. I know what the valley of despair looks like. Been there, done that, can write a book about it. Amen. But I bless God that he didn't allow me to stay in that situation. Hallelujah. I had some praying people in my life. Hallelujah. And what I wasn't even aware of at that time, they called that thing out and let me know what it was. And I bless God because I realized that I am loved by God. Hallelujah. No matter what I'm confronted with, no matter what my situations are, hallelujah, I am loved by God. Amen. That brings me joy. Hallelujah. So we must, hallelujah, in this faith, know that we are loved. When we know that, we keep a hope in us. My God. And as that hope remains, it makes us grateful and it manifests joy. Don't allow your circumstances to cripple you, causing you not to function as you've been designed. Don't allow circumstances to cause you to get quiet when it comes to who God is in your life. Don't allow not being grateful to impair you. My God. Moving on. NIV says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. What an assurance we have that we can look to, we can count on, and we can rely on God. When all that fails, when mama can't be there, when husband can't be there, when daughter can't be found, and that best friend, hallelujah, he is there. My God. When we count on him, that our concerns are lifted. We're provided with direction and joy in our lives. Amen. Prayer, praise, and worship silences fears. Let me repeat that. Prayer, praise, and worship silences fears. They are weapons of mass destruction. Amen. We must, without shame, be confident in God. Even when nobody else understands why you're confident in God, and they're looking at your situation and they're narrating, they are not the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. The light of God's power radiates even the circumstances of those who depend on the Lord. Our countenance even shifts. It changes. My God, as we depend on him. The NIV says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is one who takes refuge in him. The Living Translation says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. One songwriter wrote, I love songs, as you could tell. It was the Pace Sisters. They sung it. And they were singing, and it makes me want to sing it, but I'm not going to sing right now, I promise. He's better than Coke. He's the real thing. He's better than Campbell's soup. He's good. He's better than Maxwell. He's good to the last drop. Here at Mission House in our Bible Lab discussions, periodically we're talking and discussing and getting revelation, and we talk about what the kingdom looks like when we encounter it. Here we see the psalmist is telling us that God encounters us through our senses. And we've talked about that in Bible Lab. Here he talks about tasting and sight. But we also can experience and encounter God through smell and hearing and feeling. Because I don't know about you, but I felt God earlier. I still feel him. My God. Sometimes it's that small, still voice. Sometimes it's an audible voice. Amen. Even the word of God in scripture tells us sometimes there was a smoke that filled the temple. Amen. Seeing. Amen. Or a violent, the winds violent, like it came out violently like a violent wind. I mean, God uses every part of us to encounter us. Amen. I love that knowing that God's presence continues to help us understand that he is a refuge. In Hebrew, a refuge means cover, shelter, a haven, a privilege we can go to and we can count on. Even in the midst of storms that we may go through in our lives, we can have joy in knowing that God holds us. As my sister said earlier, he carries us and he envelops us in an everlasting love. It's a committed love. No matter how much I fail, my imperfections, my mistakes, my flaws and all, oh my God, he has an agape committed love. Hallelujah. That's like none other. Amen. The Message Bible says, when I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. I like that. Amen. How many has experienced God getting them out of a tight spot? My sister had a powerful testimony about God getting out of a tight spot. And I know she's not the only one, and I'm not the only one. The word of God tells us to ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be open, which is in Matthew 7:7. And think about ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask. Just ask. And I like the song I said, just ask in my name. Amen. How many witnesses out there know what God will do? And sometimes, let me tell you, the word of God says if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. I'm a witness. God is so good. That was something that was on my heart that I really desired. I didn't even put it in a prayer request. I really didn't. I just went on and through my day and just praised God for what he was doing. And I was grateful and everything. And that morning, someone came to me and told me I could do what it was that I desired to do. And I said, God, I didn't even ask that. It was just me delighting myself in you. And you gave me the desires of my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a witness at work, y'all. Trust. Work it. I wake up another morning this week and I heard, don't focus on the how, but rejoice in the when, God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get fixated on trying to figure out how God's going to do it. Lord, if you do it this way, then this. I done been there. Look, I can tell you, I've done it. I done tried to tell God how to do it. But when you stop focusing on the how, I trust, I've been frustrated. I've been overwhelmed. I've been discombobulated. Trust me, trying to figure out how it was going to get done. But this, I kid you not, this week when it came to me about, I was like, why focus on the how? We can't allow conditions or our circumstances to dictate our emotions. Where we go wrong is when we question it. Amen. If you're like me, I felt fret, I felt dread, I felt apprehension, and again, I drifted away from that peace. Without peace, I would lose the hope and joy in the midst of the situation. Learn from me, okay? When you face adversity, don't focus on the how. Know that when God shows up, it will be on time. You ever heard a song, he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. May not come when you want them, but it'll be there right on time. Hallelujah. When we know that we know unequivocally that we know, we have an assurance that God can and he will fight for us. He will see us through, and he definitely will get the glory. Amen. Joy is knowing that God is able, that we're never alone, and we can cast our cares because he cares for us. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. He writes, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. God employs angels, my God, to minister to us through protection and provision. God thinks that much of each and all of us. My God, the message put it like this. Even while we pray, a circle of protection is provided. As I thought about that, I said, wow. As you commune, or I commune with God, angels are dispatched. We know that we have Emmanuel, but we got reinforcement. We are never alone. We might feel lonely, But we have an assurance that we're never alone. Hallelujah. To know that even when I go to God, even if I come with tears in my face, my God, God is there along with those angels. I don't know about you, but that causes me to want to bless the name of God. Stability is vital. We can't go be tossed to and fro, especially when it comes to our relationship and our response to God. To remain in joy, we must realize and understand that if it were not for God, we wouldn't even be here today. Today, I encourage you to participate throughout your day, praise and worship. Do it as a lifestyle, not just on Sundays when we come together, but especially when we come together, though. Especially, because as my pastor was saying, as I like to say, because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Amen. Yeah. There's a song that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. We ain't got to wait till we get to heaven. Now, I'm not David, but I know for myself what praise and worship can do. We can look through Chronicles and see when the praises went up before the battle. They were obedient. They lifting up God's name and giving him praise, the tribe of Judah. The enemies destroyed each other. As my pastor said the other week, when we look in Acts, we see Paul and Silas, how their praise released them from bondage instantaneously. My God, they were freed. If David can remain in a place of joy in God, so can we. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want you to feel like praise and worship is to get you stuff. I don't want you to take that away from today, okay? But it's something about when we honor God, as Pastor taught us, that when we decenter ourselves and gravitate toward God, if nothing else, if you think about how he sustains you, how he is your constant, a friend to the friendless, mother to the motherless, father to the fatherless, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one that even sustains the very universe in us as well, my God, that alone shall cause joy. But if it had not been for new mercies today, each, some, all of us would not be here. Lamentations 3:22-23 reads in NIV, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the NIV, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The Living Translation says it like this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. There's nothing like God's presence. And throughout this past week, I found myself just like, God, I just want to hear from you. God, I just want to press into your presence. I just want to just be in a place, God, that you can speak to me. As I was just preparing, I was reading the word, I was praying, I was just listening to the word. And as I was listening, I was just encouraged, amen, even by listening to others just speak and talk about God's goodness. And even in the scripture, we see how David continually gave thanks, and he continued to trust God to be his all in all. I want to share some words of wisdom that just encouraged me, and I heard it as someone I was listening to this week, and they said, worship provides instruction. Basically, when you're in the valley of indecision, sometimes, you know, that's a hard place to be in. You don't know what to do. But as you worship, you get instructions. They also shared God trusts a praiser and God trusts a worshiper. That's when we realize it's not all about us in those times, when we trust him, even in the midst of what we're going through. Praise gives us a position sometimes that we don't even feel like we're qualified for. My God. It would settle. It would be a seatbelt. And even sometimes through praise and worship, we can get fast-paced favor. Amen. That encouraged me. Amen. So as of today, don't just sing, I will bless the Lord at all times. Actually live it out. Because when you strategically bless the Lord at all times, you will prevent a psychological distress in your life. Blessing God causes you to acknowledge who God is, and in it all, thank him. In essence, you can go from sinking sand to the land of gratitude, focus, and ultimately abide in joy. Joy of and joy in the Lord. So be grateful. Remain grateful because gratefulness produces joy. Be glad in who God is in your lives. And as a song to leave on that note for an anthem for joy, as I said earlier, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah.
Could have been another way. Hey, but he